Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am joined by Rabbi Akiva Niehaus, Director of Kashrus Operations at the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Niehaus, for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, in addition to being the Director of Kashrus Operations, you're also the Director of...
The Rabbinic Coordinator for the Liquor Department.
Okay, Rabbinic Coordinator of Liquor at the CRC.
Correct.
So you are an expert in all things alcohol. So today we'd like to discuss one alcoholic product, and that is beer, very commonly consumed at Shalom Zachar's, other times. And some people might think of beer as an innocuous product when it comes to kashrus. Tell us if that is the case, or if there's any kashrus concern when you go into the store to buy a typical domestic beer.
That's a great question. And in fact, until a couple years ago, people definitely used to think that it was innocuous. I mean, there's just four simple ingredients to make beer. There's the grain, there's water, there's yeast, and there's hops. Hops is a flower of a vine, which gives a very specific flavor and certain qualities. And those ingredients are pretty much kashrus free. There's no concerns. So until now, people thought, hey, as long as you're getting an unflavored beer, there should be no problems at all. But the problem is, recently we discovered that it's a lot worse than we thought it was. But maybe we should back up a little bit and just go through the basics. What would make a beer kosher? So there's always two things we look at, and that's ingredients and equipment. Well, like we said, the ingredients for beer are very simple. There should be no kashrus concerns whatsoever. However, I don't know what it was, but in the past 10, 15 years, they started a new phenomenon called craft beers. And it's been around for a while, but it just grew in popularity. And craft beers is like the guy who does this special, unique thing. Well, they have to stick out and be something special. So a lot of these guys started doing the most strangest products. Oyster stout. They literally take oysters and put it in the beer. Obviously not kosher. Clam, lobster, all these are not kosher. Mm-hmm. Well, they also started doing things which are not as kosher sensitive, we'll say, not as big of a problem. They started making spiced beers, you know, put some cinnamon, mm-hmm. Okay? Fruit beers. They can make orange beer, lemon beer. Well, these are not as kosher sensitive as the non-kosher ingredients, but they certainly need a hechsher because once something is in there, you have no idea what else is in there.
Right.
They can add in chemical flavorings, which certainly need a hechsher, and therefore you never know.
Before we get into it, but would that also affect the unflavored beers because they're being made on the same equipment?
Yeah, that's a great question, but let me just finish the ingredients and move on to equipment.
Okay.
So another example of ingredients of potential concern would be lactose. We've discovered recently that a lot of breweries are using lactose. Lactose is a derivative of milk. That's a milchic product, dairy. And it needs hashgacha because the way it's processed could be on shared lines with something not kosher. And more important is also that, to keep in mind, is that it's milchic. So imagine having, you take out your beer by your Shalom Zachar after a nice fleishig suda, and it's milchic. So mm-hmm. That'd be a super serious problem. So that would be one thing we look at is ingredients. Another matter that we could look at, like you mentioned, is equipment. So you find your unflavored beer, no problem, no flavorings. But would you know if this is processed on the same lines as that non-kosher oyster stout? You probably have no idea. And this, unfortunately, is extremely prevalent. It may be produced on the same lines as that oyster stout, as that milchic product. And therefore, you would never know if it's kosher or not kosher. We all know that if you cook something in a pot which is used for non-kosher, it's also not kosher. And the same thing would apply to beer. So mm-hmm. These are definitely two things that we would look at is ingredients and equipment.
So give us a primer if I'm going into the store. Now that I know that there are unflavored beers, and I know that there are flavored beers, you mentioned craft beers. Are craft beers typically sold in regular liquor stores, or are they only sold in very private productions? I don't know what the word would be.
So craft beers you could get anywhere.
Okay.
Very often it's centralized to that location, like in this region, in this city.
Uh-huh.
But you could get it anywhere. And it's a big challenge because how should the kosher consumer know what to get?
Right.
And so recently we started looking into this more and we sort of developed an idea that bigger is better. What I mean by that is the larger the brewery, the less problems there may be just due to the way they're produced, like there's, you know, it's certainly going to be bottled for another time. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to have a dedicated line. You can imagine that these large breweries are probably not going to play around and do these one-off non-kosher beers, and therefore bigger may be better. However, mm-hmm. let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, it came to light that Budweiser, the huge conglomerate, they make a product called Chelada. What's Chelada? Chelada is a mixture of Budweiser beer and Clamato. Clamato is a mixture of clam juice and tomato juice. Mm-hmm. So Chelada, which is a mixture of Budweiser and just this non-kosher clam tomato juice, is certainly not kosher. And then all of a sudden we're wondering, Budweiser, which is this huge conglomerate of brewery, maybe it's not kosher. Mm-hmm. So we did in fact look into it, and we had some sort of connection to Budweiser, and it came out that it's on a different line, or the way it was cleaned, it was fine. But that called into question, is that true, that bigger is better? Mm-hmm. It may not be true. So to answer your question, craft beers would definitely be more of a problem. The challenge is, though, how does your average consumer identify what's a craft beer and what's not? So at this point, to be honest, we're really not sure which direction to take. It's just getting worse and worse. Let me tell you another story. We were contacted by a very large brewery and asked to see if they could be kosher certified. So we go in there, and they make those simplest beers. No problem whatsoever. We're walking around the plant, and we come into a side room, and there's like a mini brewery. I said, what's this? He says, oh, this is where we do our R&D, research and development. I said, okay, what kind of beers do you do here? Oh, Rabbi, we do anything. Like what? Well, we do lactose beers. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? We do pumpkin beers. Now, pumpkin is one of the few vegetables that could be a problem with Bishalakum, because it's not Nechachai, but that's really mm-hmm. for a different time. But in this mini brewery, they were doing these non-kosher, kosher-sensitive beers. Okay, so I said, well, where does the heat come from? It's everything that needs to be cooked. He said, oh, from the steam system. I said,
so sheared steam.
It's one steam system in the whole brewery,
wow.
Which means that this brewery, which should have been kosher, no problem whatsoever, now it's shared lines. And therefore, this whole brewery had this pretty potential serious issue.
What's the problem?
Of it looked kosher, and it's not.
Now, typically, if someone goes into a store, are there beers that have hashgacha?
Excellent question. There are many, many breweries under hashgacha. Many breweries.
So you could look. So a consumer could look on the bottle of certain brands. I don't know if you want to mention any, but you could look on the bottle. If you see hashgacha, then it's a reliable supervision. Obviously, we're not addressing those. Those are good to go. We're discussing beers that do not have supervision and whether a consumer can make an assumption about their kashrus status. And as I'm getting from this, the direction of this conversation is that as time goes on, that's less and less of an option.
100%. So if you find a beer with hashgacha, that's the best way to go. And in fact, we definitely recommend that consumers try to find beer with hashgacha. And there's a lot of them on the CRC liquor list. We have well over 300 beers with hashgacha.
Okay.
And therefore, that's definitely advice number one.
So a consumer could go to the CRC website and obtain that full CRC liquor list, full list of beers that are acceptable.
Exactly right. Now, it's the challenge, like we mentioned, is the beers which are not certified, that could seriously be non-kosher. So we're coming closer to really a breakthrough in kashrus. And one of my side jobs is that I'm the chairman of the ACCO Liquor Committee, and we meet regularly to discuss issues in kashrus. And at the last meeting, this was at the front. What do we do about the fact that beer is becoming not simple anymore? Mm-hmm. And there was a proposal out there that maybe for certified events, for example, you go to a chasana and they're serving beer by the bar, you go to a restaurant, maybe at that point it's appropriate to only have certified kosher beer. Because, in fact, consumers are expecting that when they go to a chasana, they want to. So maybe one day we'll be able to expand this to all types of liquor, whiskey, etc. But for beer in particular, there's so many kosher certified options that maybe it's just a time for consumers to actually ask, we want certified beer by our kosher certified events, by our kosher restaurants, kosher caterers. We want it to be kosher certified. And it may be the right time to do this.
Mm-hmm. Is there, I mean, are you familiar with any beers without hashgacha that someone can assume are okay? That's really, I guess, the final question. What could the consumer, especially if someone's on the road, and for whatever reason then they need beer, I don't know what the scenario
it was
is.
Pretty desperate. Huh?
Yeah, pretty desperate. But whatever the scenario may be, someone might be making a Shom Zachar and it's right before Shabbos and they need beer, whatever the case may be, and they can't get a beer with a Hashgacha. Is there any recourse? What could they do?
So I would say it's definitely bigger is better. That's a general rule. The bigger the brewery, it's probably less of a problem.
How would someone know if it's big? It's just a name brand?
In the name brand, a national brand. You got to do a little research. Craft breweries, I would certainly stay away from.
Okay.
Again, challenging to identify.
And obviously any flavored beers,
any flavored
huge
beers,
red flag.
Correct.
Right away. Then needs Hashgacha. Any other of these oysters? You had mentioned there's lactose, pepperoni, pizza, beer.
Well, pepperoni, that's funny you mentioned that. In Boston, we were told every year there's a brewery that takes 24 pepperoni pizzas and throws it into the beer kettle. And that's their shtick.
They put actual
pizza pies.
That's how they make that?
Yeah.
I always thought it was like a flavor of something.
No, they throw it in there, and that's how they make their beer. Obviously not kosher, but you never know on the same lines.
Uh-huh.
So it's... Now, there's one other angle here I would just like to throw in. There's something called the Reinheitsgebot, which is the Bavarian purity law, which is...
What language is that, by
the
way?
That's in
sounds German.
Bavarian German, yes.
Okay.
And this was created hundreds of years ago as like the first consumer protection law. And that actually codified into law that you can only use those few ingredients and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Adding lactose would be against that law. So if you do find a beer that actually advertises they follow the Bavarian purity laws or the Reinheitsgebot, as it's called, then you certainly have a better chance of being kosher. They don't speak about equipment. That's a kosher thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in ingredients-wise, they'd also you'd be better. So just...
Okay.
So to summarize, I would say is beer with Hashgacha is definitely the way to go. If you can, uncertified beer, flavored, definitely needs Hashgacha. If it's unflavored, you got to do a little research. You got to find out. Bigger is better, simpler is safer. And maybe, like I said, it is the time for consumers to actually demand that they would like to move towards certified beers for Hashgacha.
Okay, on that note, thank you. Thanks for joining us for this conversation.
Thank you.